Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Light Show. We're going to be interviewing Evangelist Gene Garner. How you doing, Gene?
I'm doing well. I hope you are.
Doing pretty good. How you doing, Steve? Steve's going to be co-hosting today. How you doing, Steve?
Doing pretty good.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome today. Gene, I'd like to ask you, could you tell us a little bit about your testimony?
Yeah, sure. I was basically raised in church. Not that that means that much, because churches that I went to, great churches, I love the people there, nothing against church, but at my young age, it seemed like Christianity sounded kind of boring. So, I went through the motions. I was born again at an early age, but I was just going through the motions of church, you know, like a lot of people do today still. And lived a lot of my life doing that. a few years back, I just said, you know what, God, it's time to do it your way, because my way really hadn't worked out as well as I hoped it would at this point. And so basically I just said, you know what, God, I'm going to live for you every bit as hard as I lived for me, even harder.
Amen.
So you tell me where to go, I'll go. You tell me what to do, I'll do it. And you tell me what to say, and I'll say it. And,
amen.
You know, of course, there's been bumps in the road, but I tell you what, I just couldn't go back, man. I mean, there's just no comparison to living the life of the Son of God. There's just no comparison.
That's awesome. That's awesome testimony. Yeah, I know how it is. You know, there's a lot of us that we was raised in church and you know, went through the motions of it and was told stuff, but you don't really know when you actually have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people, they're raised in church. It's more of what you want to call a religious experience, but it's not a relationship experience. And once you get that relationship experience, the whole game changes. So it's awesome. Now, Gene, let us know a little bit about your life and health ministries.
Okay. That was one of the first things after I gave it all to God. He said, I want you to start a ministry, and it's going to be worldwide. Nations are going to be changed because of the gospel. I said, okay. You know, you show me what to do, and I'll do it. You know, I'm yours. And so, I mean, I was just listening. I was studying, listening to a lot of different people, you know, and one day the Holy Spirit just almost audibly, I mean, you know how he talks to you, man. When you have that relationship, you hear him clearly. He said, someone from Pakistan is going to call you and want to be affiliated with your ministry. And I'm sitting here like, affiliated with my ministry. Okay. You know, so, and literally, like, I want to say the next day, this guy Facebook messaged me and told me the Holy Spirit had told him to call me, that he was to be affiliated with my ministry because it was going to be a great work in Pakistan.
Amen.
You know, so, I went through the appropriate steps of what the Holy Spirit had told me to do and prayed about it, verified it's right, you know, and brought them on board. And, you know, it's gone from that to, you know, with just a few churches to, I haven't got everything totaled on this quarterly report, but we're going to be around 900 churches and ministries internationally are affiliated with us now. And I mean, God's just doing amazing things. I mean, it seems like every church that comes on board, God just blesses them and amazing things are happening, you know, and I don't take any of the credit for it. Other than the fact, I'm just being obedient, doing what he says do. And, you know, I give all the glory to God.
Amen. That's it. You know, when God speaks and tells you to do something, the more obedience you are or more obedient you are to the Lord, the more he gives. And I really believe, you know, that in first times when you get introduced to the Lord and you're really living that Christian life and he starts giving you directions, and when you start following the directions and you start going by what he's telling you to do and he sees that you're fully obedient to it, I really believe he puts more on your plate like you're talking there, and that's real awesome. And there's a lot of people that's in the church don't know much about obedience to the Lord. They don't understand. A lot of them don't even hear the Lord. They just hear what the preacher tells them. But there's, you know, like we talked before, and we was talking about, you know, it's more than just Sunday morning, you know, going to church. It's a lifetime experience and having a real relationship with the Father and with Lord Jesus, you know, as, you know, the Lord did, as our Lord and Savior did. He had that relationship, and he wants us to have that relationship too. And it's just awesome to see guys like you coming out here doing this thing and showing people how this life is really, really lived. And one thing I'd like to ask you is, how is your life down here in North Carolina and on the ranch, man?
Hey, man, I mean, it's, you know, it's work. We've got a little place out here, and, I mean, we've got 11, 12 horses, donkeys, chickens, goats, dogs, cats, you know, everything but a partridge in a pear tree, and we don't have a pear tree, so that's probably why.
Okay.
But you know, I mean, it's enjoyable. I enjoy it. It's like everything else, it's work, but I enjoy it. I do. And we do some horse rescue, so it kind of helps out some animals that otherwise may not have such a good ending to their life. So yeah, it's just something that we enjoy.
That's awesome. And another thing, when did you start learning about identity? I know that's one of your things. When did you start learning about identity?
Well, let's see. This is 2017, probably 5 years ago, maybe, something like that. I really just started seeking God, and I said, you know, God, who do I need to listen to, you know? And so, I mean, I soaked up everything that I could find on Curry Blake because, you know, he was all about identity. He called it the DHT, but it was a lot of identity training, identity, 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 you know? And so I listened to a lot of that, a lot of Pete Cabrera, Todd White. I mean, I was soaking up everything I could find on identity. And we really teach a lot on identity now, because if you don't know who you are, then you'll never know that God really wants that relationship with you, because you're his son or his daughter. So without knowing your identity in Christ, other than having your quote unquote fire insurance, you're really not experiencing anything that God has for you.
Amen. Amen. That's so true. I mean, a lot of people, they just go through the steps and they learn that they're saved, and they, you know, they're really happy that they're not going to hell, but, you know, that's about all they know. They don't really know about the lifestyle and what Jesus expects and what, you know, the Father really has, you know, with you. And, you know, I really believe that, you know, God sent Jesus for us to walk like him and to have that same relationship with him as our Lord did. And I really believe that Jesus walked out this lifestyle to show us how that was walked out. And we don't look at that. We just look at, you know, the religious things and, you know, thank you, Jesus, and call it the day. But it was a little bit more to it. And, yeah, it's a lot to it, man. And it's really, really important to learn that identity and learn all the right stuff out of the Word of God. It's really important. Now, Gene, what we're going to do right quick, while you're on here, we're going to go into a song, and we're going to come right back, and we'll come back with Gene Garner. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Healing Light Show, and we're talking to Evangelist Gene Garner. And this part of the show, we're going to be talking about the supernatural experiences he had, like dreams and stuff. And I'm going to hand this over to Stephen. Go ahead, Stephen.
All right. So one of the things that I would like to ask you about, Gene, if this is all right, I'd like to ask you about how did you really get into, I know you say you're involved in a lot of religion, and I know me and you have talked, you come from a Baptist background. So how did you really get involved in the supernatural aspect of ministry of the Holy Spirit?
Well, you know, I always knew, most especially as an adult, that there was more than what I'd been taught. I mean, I went to Christian school, and like I said, I was in church. I mean, so I was taught the Bible every day. I mean, it was a subject just like math and English, but unfortunately the religious part of it was taught as well. So I had to unlearn a lot of that. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, because that really that helped with the unlearning process. But, you know, like I had said before, listening to Curry Blake and all this stuff and just searching out what he said in the Word to make sure that what he was teaching was truth and the same with others, and just seeing that, and I use these verses to teach a lot, and that's Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you receive, freely give. And then John 14:12, where Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you believe in me, the works I do, you will do, and even greater works than these, because I go to the Father. I mean, so that one in itself says, yep, we're supposed to preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works I do, you will do. So I'm definitely a believer. And I said, well, I'm all about this. God, show me what I need to do, and let's get it. A lot of sick people need to get healed. So, I really started seeking this out and walking in it. And, you know, once you cross the chicken line, as a friend of mine, Art Montgomery, says, you get out there and just do it. The more you do it, the easier it gets. And, you know, you get to a point where you really don't care what people say, think, or do, because, you know, regarding you, it doesn't have any effect on who you are in Christ or who Christ is in you. So once you get confident in your identity as a son and a daughter of God, then it really doesn't matter, you know, whether you see instant manifestation of a healing or not, because you understand that, you know, the Word says believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. You're either a believer or not. Just because you don't see it instantly doesn't mean it's not happening. You know, you can't necessarily see changes happening inside the body. So that really got me started as far as walking in the supernatural lifestyle of being a son.
Now, did you go through, like, any type of training, or did you just take the Word at face value and just act upon it?
Other than listening to every video, podcast, The work I was doing then, I was literally driving about 2,000 miles a week, so I had a lot of seat time in the car. So I spent a lot of time with God and a lot of time listening to videos and podcasts. So I was basically soaking up the Word and every good teaching that I could find.
Amen.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I know me and you have talked a lot, and the Lord really speaks to you a lot through dreams and through visions. You mind talking about that?
Well, I don't dream that much. I mean, I do have some dreams, but I do have a lot of visions and a lot of supernatural encounters. I take the Word literally. You know, I understand God's no respecter of persons. If I can see in the Bible where a believer did things, then obviously that's for me as well. And, you know, obviously if Jesus did it, it's for us as well. And he says we'll be able to do what he did and even greater. So, you know, there's not a lot of limitations on situations when you say, well, Jesus himself said I'd be able to do greater works and things than he did because of the Holy Spirit. I've definitely got the Holy Spirit.
Definitely.
So, you know, I've seen some really amazing things in we'll just say traveling in the spirit. That's a common term used today.
Amen.
I mean, I've had people call me and say, hey, look, you know, this person just gone to the hospital. They had a massive heart attack. They're not expecting them to live. And I'm like, okay, you know, what's the person's name? They tell me. I'm like, okay, I'll definitely seek God on this. You know, and this particular situation, I actually was in the room, in the spirit. I mean, nobody saw me, but I mean, I could see everything going on in the room. I've got quite a few years in the medical field experience-wise, so I know what the equipment is, what it's supposed to say, how it reads, what it means. And this person was on a vent to help them breathe, and they were on a pacer, which keeps their heart beating at a certain rate, but you can still see the heart rhythm and all this. I mean, this person's heart rate, it was a mess. They had like a 5% cardiac function. They were, they shouldn't have been here for all practical purposes with their heart in the condition it was in. The person had a heart attack that they called a widowmaker, and there's a reason they call it that, because it's got a very low survival rate. But anyway, I sat there, and it was really awesome. I don't know how many of you guys out there have actually had any encounters like this, but when you're actually in the spirit, you see who you really are when you minister to people. I mean, I literally reached my hand out over this person and just said, life in Jesus' name. The monitor started going crazy. This guy's heart beat got really, really, really fast and then slowed down, and it was perfectly normal sinus rhythm on the monitor. He was breathing on his own, overriding the vent. The medical staff and everything come in, and I just kind of faded out of the room. And I got a call the next day saying that a miracle had happened and his heart was working at a normal function.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Good God.
That's awesome. One thing that kind of reminds me of is John G. Lake, when they had a lady that had a mental condition, and he was praying in the spirit, and somehow he found himself in a room with this lady in England in this mental hospital, and he was actually in front of her and saw her chained up to this table, and she was just had complete mental problems, and he laid his hands on this lady and prayed for her, and he saw the demon leave and saw her get completely healed, and she came to her normal self. And then right after that, God picked him up and put him back in his body. And then a couple, maybe the next day, that he got a letter or a phone call or something letting him know that the lady was healed and they let her out of the mental institution. So that was pretty awesome. I mean, that God allows us to travel.
Absolutely.
And do work for him like that. But what is one of the most miracles that has stood out in your life that really comes to your mind?
Oh, let's see. Really stands out. Well, we've seen stage 4 cancer totally eradicated.
Amen.
And most any disease that's common in this country, I mean, you know, it's all the same to the Holy Spirit. You know, the word says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. So,
amen.
There's not a miracle out there that he hasn't been present to take care of. So, you know, it's up to us as believers to get out here and be who we're supposed to be, you know. And
amen.
I'm just trying to see. I don't know if this was the quote-unquote most amazing, if you will, but there was I was doing some work in another state, and we went to give this lady a quote, and she was in her 90s. And I noticed she was limping, and I asked her daughter, I said, does your mother know that she's got one leg shorter than the other? I said, you know, Jesus will heal her of that today. You know, and she said, I don't know. Let's ask her. You know, so I asked her, I said, you know, do you know you have one leg shorter than the other? And, you know, she said, yeah, it's been that way. I forget how many years she said. It's been a long time, like 30, 40 years, just a crazy long time. I said, you know, Jesus will heal you. Do you want to get healed today? She said, well, sure. You know, and her daughter and her son-in-law were there, and they were like, well, can we watch? I'm like, of course. So, you know, I got down on my knees and just kind of laid her both of her feet in my hand. I said, and you see? And, you know, it was a good bit shorter, probably 1.5 inches, maybe 2 inches shorter. And, you know, I just said, right now, in Jesus' name, leg grow out. And it started growing out, and, you know, their mouth was dropping open. I said, you guys are seeing this, right? They're like, yeah, yeah. I said, more, grow out. I said, okay, stop. You know, and they were perfectly same length. You know, so I said, let me see your hands, baby. I'm going to help you stand up, and I'm going to hold you for a couple of steps, so you know, because it's going to feel a little different. And so she started walking around, and she had got this big smile on her face. She was walking around. I said, but you know, you've still got a little bit of lower back pain, don't you? She said, yeah. I said, well, let's go ahead and get that taken care of, too. So, you know, we just laid hands on her back, and boom, all pain was gone. So, you know, this healing is not just for young people. I mean, this lady was in her 90s, and
Amen.
She was totally pain-free, and she'd had a limp for 30-plus years. And,
man.
You know, and my buddy was there with us, a business partner at the time, and the son-in-law had bad knees. My business partner jumped right over there, laid hands on that, commanded brand new knees. The guy's knees were perfectly healed. All pain was gone. He was walking up and down steps like a little kid because he had been in a lot of pain with his knees. So, I mean, you know, it was kind of like a two-for-one deal that day. We went over there to kind of price a job. And you know, everywhere we go, you know, that's what we're supposed to do is just be who the Word says we are. Just manifest. Be a son of God. Get out here and just be an imitator of Christ. You know, you go somewhere and ask yourself, if you see somebody with a limp, would Jesus let that person limp, or would he get it taken care of?
That's true.
And that's what it's all about. You know, just bring the kingdom to earth, man. Just get out here and be who we're supposed to be, and signs and wonders truly will follow you. I mean, it's like people everywhere have got issues. If you just look, the Holy Spirit will say, hey, You see that, you know, and it's just up to us to get out here and get it done.
Just
it's
go
fun,
do it,
man. I love it. There's nothing like seeing the look on someone's face who's been in pain for years, and that pain instantly go away right in front of you. Just go. There's no joy that you can compare that to on this earth. There's just not.
Yeah,
and
all things.
I love it, you know. And
amen. Only thing you have to do is cross that chicken line, right?
That's right. That's right. Just get out there and do it.
Amen.
Get out there and do it.
Amen. When did you see the first miracle happen in your life that God actually worked through you?
Through me or on me?
Well, let's go with on you first and then through you.
Okay. On me, I'd been out here for a while and seen a bunch of miracles, a bunch of people get healed, demons cast out. And like I mentioned, I've done a lot of traveling. And I mean, I had medically documented 70% disability on one knee and 40% on the other. My knees were trashed.
Huh.
And I mean, I was popping ibuprofen like candy pretty much every day just to function, to, you know, keep the pain kind of dulled down. And I was riding down the road one day, and I just sat out, boy, my knees hurt. And the Holy Spirit's like, whose fault is that? I'm like, you're exactly right. Let's fix that right now. So I just said, right now, in Jesus' name, I release the Holy Spirit to flow through my body and give me brand new knees in Jesus' name. Didn't think anything else about it. Just driving on down the road, doing what I do. Got home that night, got ready to do what I normally do, get on a hay trailer and roll a round bale of hay off. And I stepped up on the trailer and I was like, wait a minute. that didn't hurt. So I rolled around, bell off, you know, got ready to get off the trailer. I said, well, I'm fixing to do one or two things. I'm going to be very happy or I'm going to probably cry. So I jumped off the trailer. Absolutely no pain. I was
Amen.
Like, oh, my God. So, you know, and I mean, man, I do anything I want to now. Crawl around on my knees. I've got a business to home improvement stuff, so I'm always working on my knees and climbing up and down ladders and crawling around on floors and under crawl spaces and stuff. So, I mean, and I have no issues with my knees whatsoever. I mean, so God gave me brand new knees, and I've seen lots of new knees since then, lots of them.
Amen. Now, what was the first miracle that you saw through you?
Well, the first one through me, you know, was a migraine headache. And people are like, oh, that's nothing. Well, that's because you've never had a migraine headache. But, I mean, this person was really suffering with migraine headaches, you know. And I told him it was a person that I had known for a good majority of my life. I said, listen, I said, let me tell you what I found out. I said, healing is not just for the first century church like a lot of churches taught. I said, healing is for the believer today just like it was for Jesus 2,000 years ago. I said, I want you to check this out now. I said, can I lay my hand on your head? They're like, sure. So I just laid my hand on their head. I said, right now in Jesus' name, headache, leave. And the person's eyes got like great big and they're like, no way, man. I'm like, what? Because I was kind of like, okay, did it work? Because, you know, they're like, man, that headache is gone. I said, for real? They're like, yeah, man, it's gone, completely gone. I said, it's not even any pain there at all now. I said, well, man, that's awesome. I said, Jesus loves you. I said, that's why. I said, he paid the price for you. Isaiah 53:5 says, by his stripes, you are healed. You know, and I was excited. I was like, man, this is cool. This stuff really works. It's not just something that Curry Blake can do. It works. You know, I was on fire after that, man. You know, I was out there just, let's get it done. Everybody I saw, I was like, let's get these people healed.
Amen. Amen.
But I had fun with it. When I go in a restaurant, eating lunch, you know, doing what I was doing, man, I was looking for people. All just looking.
Amen. That's awesome. That's one of the biggest things, is just go out there and do it and just hit the streets and go out there and do what you got to do, you know, and show Jesus to everybody. But, you know, it's really important to just do the gospel. And a lot of people don't understand that, you know, something that the disciples started right after, you know, Jesus was rose back to the Father. You know, he told us to go out here and do this. And then, you know, the disciples in the book of Acts, they actually went out and did that. They went across the country and across the world to spread the gospel, and they was actually sent out to make disciples. And when they was out making disciples, they're doing what we're doing now. And I was listening to a guy, and he said that he was in Israel, and he was in a secret place where I think Peter or Paul, one of those was there. And he said, I want to have a dream. I want to have a vision just like he did from the Lord. And the vision that he got, he just got one word. He's like, if you copy something many times, what are you going to get? He said, you're going to get some of the truth, see it correctly. So some of the stuff that we're seeing today is just the nitty-gritty of what the people in the gospel really did. We don't really know all that they did. We know what the gospels say, but we don't know what they did outside of gospels, what miracles they saw, how many times they saw Jesus reappeared. I mean, they even said there were so many books. If they actually wrote all everything they saw Jesus did after he rose from the dead, that they couldn't put it in all the books. It wouldn't be enough books to fit all of this stuff. So a lot of stuff that we see today is just a glimpse of what can be done. It's a glimpse of what can be done. And Jesus said that. He said, you will do as much or more than I will. So the church needs to get to work. I mean, I really believe the church needs to get to work and start doing what Jesus did And I really believe if we all get out in the street and do this more, we'd see the church grow. We'd see more people's heads be turned and see more people knowing Jesus and letting Jesus into their heart. And I really feel that this is important. And I know it's not all about signs and wonders. It's not. It's not. It's about bringing people to the Lord, getting them saved, getting them delivered. And deliverance is another thing. There's a thing about deliverance that people is trying to lay down. Deliverance was real big back, you know, many years ago, but deliverance is coming back into the church. You're starting to see a little bit more of deliverance coming into the church. And that's something, again, that Jesus did quite a bit. Every healing, most of everything you hear about Jesus, he did deliverance. But a lot of ministers want to put that on a down low. They don't want to talk about that. Now, Gene, have you saw any deliverance in your ministry?
Oh, yes. Yes, quite a few. I've got one that comes to mind in particular that I normally tell people about. There's a guy I've known for over 20 years. He called me one night, about 10 o'clock. He said, "Man, look, I know we ain't talking in a long time, but I don't know who else to call." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Look," he said, I know you'll believe me. You won't think I'm crazy." He said, "There's demons that have been tormenting me for the last 3 or 4 years, right at 4 years." He said, "And it's to the point where I don't even care if I live anymore." I said, "Well, now you know that's the enemy's, that's what he does, steal, kill, and destroy. So the last thing you want to do is let him win." I said, "So tell me about it." And he did. We talked till like 2 in the morning. I said, "Okay," I said, "here's the deal." I said, "Tomorrow when you get off of work, you give me a time," I said, "and I'll be there." I said, "We'll get this taken care of." He said, "Man, I don't know if I want you to come over here or not. I don't want what I bring with me. They don't want no part of. I can assure you of that." And so, you know, so I came over the next day, and I mean, you could sense the evil just driving up in the yard. I mean, it was just, it was heavy. You know, I was like, "Wow, okay." Because I've been talking to God all the way over there. I'm like, "Okay, you know, Holy Spirit, tell me what's going on." And he pretty much told me exactly what it was going to be like. And so, I mean, I knew to expect it when I get there. I mean, I pretty much knew everything that was going to happen for the most part before I ever got there. You know, that's that relationship that is amazing, because otherwise I'd have probably been a little freaked out.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're sitting out there, and it's starting to get late, and the mosquitoes are working pretty good. He said, "Let's go inside." I said, "Okay." Well, as soon as he walked in the door, I saw his wife, and instantly I knew she was not saved. I was like, "Okay." So we sit down at the kitchen table, and we're starting to talk, you know, and he's telling me about things, you know. He's like, "Yeah, this thing bothers me every night, and it touches me in places that I don't want to be touched." You know, I said, "Does your wife know about this?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "It's crazy." He said, "This thing will actually crawl in between us in the bed at night and kind of push us apart." I'm like, "Well, cool, let's get her over here." You know, so I get over here, and I'm like, "Okay." So we talk a few more minutes about things they've seen, and this poor guy, I mean, he's in shambles, man. I mean, the enemy has just wrecked his, he literally has no desire to live anymore. He's so tired of the enemy just torturing him, basically. He's lost his will to live, if you will. So I'm just sitting here, and the Holy Spirit's like, "Let's talk about identity and the power and authority we have." I was like, "Okay." So I start talking about who we are in Christ, you know, and that we've got power over all the enemy to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. I just felt like I was repeating myself over and over again, because the Holy Spirit just kept saying power and authority, identity. So, I mean, I'm just going over verse after verse after verse and passage of scripture and testimonies of deliverances and stuff. And, I mean, you could see things in the house moving around, like shadowy figures. I mean, it would have made a really good – watching horror movies, it would have made a really good one. you could literally see it with your physical eyes because his wife was like, do you see that? I'm like, yeah, they're just mad because we're telling the truth and they know what's getting ready to happen. You know, and he's sitting over here and all of a sudden the guy starts shaking like he's having a seizure. And, I mean, he grabs hold of the dining room table and, I mean, he's just shaking. And he's talking. He said, man, I can't stop. He said, I'm trying to stop. I can't stop. I said, it's okay. His wife's like, is he going to be okay? I said, yeah. I said, here's what I'm talking about, power and authority. I looked over him. I said, you stop it right now. And he just stops. Just calm. No shaking. No nothing. He's like, man, I could not stop doing that. I said, I know it wasn't you, man. It's okay. And his wife was like, so all believers can do that? I said, absolutely. I said, it's part of who we are in Christ. I said, and that's when I asked her, has she ever been born again? And she said, no. And I asked her, would she like to? And she said, yes. So we led her to Christ right there. Which that was a definite big bonus, you know. So we're sitting here and we're talking power and authority and identity and just over and over, you know, just, and man, they're getting madder and madder and madder. And then the Holy Spirit said, it's time. I looked over at him. I said, hey, man, are you ready to get free? He said, more than you know. I said, well, let's
amen.
Do this. So I walked around there and I put my hand on his arm. And the second I did, that demon manifested like it looked like claws on his back. You could see the demon hanging on his back like a kid riding piggyback. That's what this demon did. This guy's eyes got really big. And I'm like, man, it's okay. Don't worry about it. So, you know, we commanded that demon to go in Jesus' name and take, you know, every demon in that house, any spirit that's not of God, get up and get out now. And it was like somebody turned on a forced fresh air fan in there. I mean, it was just like all of a sudden the air is perfectly clean. You go from like the smoggiest sensation you can imagine to perfectly clean air. And I looked at him. I was like, how you feel? He said, man, that's amazing. He said, I feel like I can actually breathe again. You know, so he called me the next morning. He said, man, I'd forgotten what a real night's sleep was like. He said, I slept all night long, no tormenting, no waking up, no nothing. He said, I slept like a baby. You know, and this guy's a believer. I mean, his dad was a pastor. Before he passed away, I mean, he was just tormented by the enemy, you know, and it happens, man. It's a real thing. The enemy does what he does because people don't know that he's defeated, and he's a pretty good liar, you know. He lied well enough to get a third of heaven cast out with him, so he's very proficient at lying.
Amen. And I tell people, I said, this thing's been on earth longer than we have, and it's been lying to so many people that it's very good at it. And it can manipulate preachers. It can manipulate anybody to stay. And I really believe that the enemy really manipulate the church to try to stay in the church to make sure, you know, deliverance don't exist anymore. You don't really have a demon because, you know, you're a Christian. You don't have one. And, you know, you're good. It's just outside of you. And, you know, don't worry about that. It's just a sickness. And, you know, when you get into word, that don't really exist. You know, Jesus casts these things out all the time. And I've heard people say, well, I never heard of Jesus casting out a demon out of a Christian. I said, well, when Jesus was on earth, there wasn't no Christians yet. He was the only one.
Exactly.
He was the only one. And actually, in the book of Acts, there wasn't really a whole lot of Christians yet. There's still, you know, only the disciples was the only ones that was actually following Jesus. And this was new to them. So, you know, that's the only thing they really knew was Jesus casting out demons. And They did, you know, when Jesus laid blowed his breath amongst them, they weren't Holy Spirit filled yet, but they had the presence upon them that Jesus put upon them before he died, and they did the same thing. But, you know, there really wasn't any Christians there to get, you know, get delivered because there wasn't none yet. is just, you know, a lot of people that was demon filled. And to this day, I mean, even me, I saw a lot of people that's actually Christians that's been delivered by many things and sicknesses and all that stuff. And one of the coolest things that I've saw during deliverance is a handprint on a woman's stomach. When the thing left, I saw a baby handprint reappear on a woman's stomach. It scared her and me. And I was like, what is this? And it was actually a demon that was called abortion, the spirit of abortion. If it's any women that's losing children, that's having issues with having babies or having a lot of stuff going on with them during their change and all that stuff, a lot of things like that, it's a spirit of abortion. I don't know what, but when the Holy Spirit had me to say this, to cast this demon out of this person, they got delivered, and this handprint showed up, and I was like, what is this? Is this abortion? Is this really a spirit? What? I mean, how is this? We've been calling, you know, these people having abortions forever, and I thought it was just a word or a term that was called for that, but there's actually a spirit that has that name and is causing this torment to women and to families all across the world, I guess. But, you know, I've saw some crazy things too, and this is real as you and me. I mean, this is some real stuff that people just don't understand. You know, the health community just says, this is just a sickness, or this is just something that happens to you, or, you know, you just don't have a chance. It's over with. But with Jesus Christ, there's always a chance. There's always a solution through him. He died for that solution. He shed his blood for that solution. He took those stripes for that solution. And all the thing we got to do is go and make that happen. He's dependent on us to do that. He's dependent on us to lay hands on the sick. He's dependent upon us to deliver people from demons. He's dependent upon us. The church has been saying too long, crying for Jesus to do something that he told us to do. It ain't for him to do anymore. He gave the baton to us for us to do. Not for him to do anymore, but for us. He did everything where we can do it. And the only thing we have to do is go out and do this and get this job done. And that's that's everything in the bag, ain't it, Gene?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the gospel is really simple. You know, I was listening to an amazing man of God today, you know, and he just, Matthew 10:7-8, you know, you want the gospel in a nutshell? It's simple. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that means, if you look at the literal translation, the kingdom of heaven is as close as the air we breathe, because it's inside of us.
Amen.
You know, that's what we're supposed to preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then do what? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons.
Amen.
Why do we do it? Because it was given to us, so we give it away. That's what we're supposed to do.
Amen. Amen. And there's another thing I've been saying for a long time is, you know, when people get some worship, they think they're trying to pray heaven down from upstairs somewhere. And I keep on telling people, you ain't praying heaven out from upstairs. You're pulling it out of you. It's coming out of you. What God has put in you, you're pulling it out. You've got over 300 people in your church that's pulling out of them to manifest in front of them. It's never came out of a sky or out of a wall or wherever. It's coming out of you, because when Jesus came to live inside of you and the Holy Spirit filled you, he's roaming and living inside of you that you don't even know that. So when you worship, you pull that out, and that's when you get the, you know, get the presence and get all of that. So,
you know, the word plainly says that we're seated with him in heavenly places.
Amen.
You know, so, you know, we're seated with him at the right hand of the Father. Or the Bible's a lie. And I use that phrase a lot, and people are like, well, I know the Bible's not a lie. I'm like, okay then, are you a believer? Yeah, okay. So, now that we've got that straight, let's go heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Because that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
But, you know, in order for people to understand that, we have to renew our minds to the truth of the word, period.
Amen.
You know, and I tell people there's a reason that it says renewing, I-N-G, your mind, because the enemy's not going to stop throwing his darts. He's not going to stop lying to you. He's not going to stop trying to do things to you, because that's what he does. He's defeated.
Yep.
But he's been lying to you your whole life before you became a believer. He's not going to stop lying now. So if you don't keep the truth, if you look at your mind like a set of scales, if you don't keep the truth at a lot higher level coming in than the junk the enemy's trying to put in your mind, then you're going to start listening to the enemy instead of listening to the word. You're not going to remember that you're a son of God. You're not going to remember that all of his promises are yes and amen. You're not going to remember you're seated with him in heavenly places. You're not going to remember that you have authority over all of the works of the enemy. You're not going to remember we're supposed to be destroying the works of the enemy.
Amen.
You're not going to remember that no weapon formed against you will prosper. You know,
amen.
And I can tell you, I've been through some really messed up situations, and I had a person pull a gun on me when I was working in this other state. And, you know, I mean, I'm a country boy. I've been around firearms all my life, and doing what I did for work, when I work in EMS, I mean, I've seen quite a few loaded guns stuck in my face. It's just not fun. But, you know, this particular time, I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to handle it? Because the way Gene would handle it would not be good. And he's like, who are you? I said, I'm your son. He's like, doesn't the word say all power is given me in heaven and earth? I'm like, yes. He's like, so if you're a joint heir with Jesus, what does that mean? I was like, all power is given me in heaven and earth. He said, so tell them to take their gun and get in their vehicle and leave. And that's exactly what I did. I pointed my fingers at him and said, you get in your vehicle and you go now. And they got in their vehicle and left.
Wow.
So, you know, I was like, wow. Because the old me would have shot him in their tracks, and that just been the way it would have been. And then it would have been a whole bunch of junk, and, you know, and that would have been wrong. But that's what the old me would have done. Thank God the old me is dead, and the new me listened to the Holy Spirit that time. I didn't have a moment of humanity like would have been very easy for me to do.
Amen.
But yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, if the word says no weapon formed against you will prosper, it's the truth. But do you believe it? Or are you going to be, oh, my God, this person just pointed a gun at me and racked one in the chamber. They're fixing to shoot me. What am I going to do? Have I got time to take my gun and return the favor, or am I going to get shot? Or do you just say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Okay, do this. Bam. And it's done. And
amen.
You know, it's not about me other than the fact I just listened to the Holy Spirit and was obedient. If I hadn't been obedient, chances are I would have got shot. But, you know, I mean, I was just obedient. I'd like to say I'm that way all the time, but I do have those moments when I try to do things my way and it normally didn't work out very well. So I try to maintain that obedience level.
I think we all have that problem sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
I have something I wanted to share if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
And Luke 17:20, when you're talking about the kingdom being near you, as near as the air you breathe, it says the kingdom doesn't come with observation. It doesn't come with signs to be observed. So then it says in Luke 17:21, no one will say, look over here, look over there, for the kingdom is within you. And it just reminded me of in the body of Christ today, there's a very, very poor, I mean, universally speaking, a very, very poor understanding of the kingdom. Most people think that the kingdom is just something that's coming in the future. Most people, even if they do believe that it's here now, they don't really know what it means to, you know, really embrace the kingdom or live in the kingdom or, you know, really manifest the kingdom of heaven. So, Jane, I wonder if you don't mind sharing something on that, because I mean, a lot of people, it's like you said, Sam, they're trying to pray heaven down instead of praying heaven out.
Yeah.
So, Jane, do you have any insights on that?
I do, you know, and here's my thing. I'll touch on the aspect of it from healing. I always ask people, because, you know, I tell them, I say, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to command this to happen. They're like, wait a minute, can you do that? I'm like, let me ask you a question. I said, where in the Bible can you show me that Jesus said, oh, merciful Father, if it could possibly be your will to heal this person, if not just comfort them in their time of need? You can't show me that in the Bible. That's religion.
Exactly.
What did Jesus always do? Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Go and sin no more. Rise and walk. It was always do this. Go do this. Do this. Do this. You're healed. Dead person, take your hand. Stand up. You know, Lazarus, get out the grave. Come forth.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't blame the church as a whole because, see, here's the problem. People have got the term church really confused. The church is not a building. We are the church.
Yeah.
You know, we are the church, and we have the same capability to open our Bible as the pastor does. So if people would just stop trying to live off that hour's worth of Jesus on Sunday morning and get in the Word and study to show themselves approved and actually try to renew their mind and learn to hear the Holy Spirit, they would learn that, you know what, you're the church, and I'm inside of you. And, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, and Jesus plainly said, you know, I am my Father in one. I'm in him, he's in me, and I'm in you, so he's in you. So, you know, we've got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in us right now. And you know, we're in him, and he's in us. So, you know, and people are like, well, I don't know if I've got enough faith. Okay, well, everybody's got the measure of faith. All right, well, the measure of faith, that's a faith. You know, that measure is the faith that you'll be like, okay, yes, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord. I believe that you died and rose again. All right, that's that measure of faith. But, you know, after that point, if you look at Galatians 2:20, Paul kind of sums it up. You know, he says, you know, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So we're supposed to be functioning from the faith of Jesus Christ. And I ask people, I say, do you think when he said, Lazarus, come forth? I said, I can tell you he didn't, because if he had said anything other than Lazarus, come forth, everybody in a grave within earshot would have been knocking on the stone, let me out. So Jesus doesn't have a faith issue, so we shouldn't have a faith issue. You know, everything having to do with Christianity, with being a believer, takes faith, period.
Amen.
You want to see people healed? You got to be a believer, man. You got to have faith. You want to see people delivered? You got to have faith. You want to see things in the spiritual realm? You got to have faith. You know, it's all about faith. Nothing supernatural is going to happen without faith.
Amen. I know when I went to the identity school, one thing that I learned was that one thing that's holding anything back inside of you is a wall of doubt. If you're not seeing 80 or 90% in your prayers, there is a wall of doubt somewhere. There's something in you like, it ain't going to happen anyway. And then there's a wall. In the type of faith that Jesus Christ had, there was no doubt. He said, you know, I know that the Father hears me when I speak. I know that the Father hears me when I speak. So he knew that everything that he said, that Father God heard everything that he said, and he answered to everything that he said. It wasn't, well, you know, if I pray 15 times or I pray a couple of times that, you know, that maybe he'll do something or make something move, or maybe tomorrow that he will make something happen. And he wasn't like that. He knew that God will. He knew that the Father would move as soon as he spoke. And that is one of the biggest things is, you know, when you build that faith and you walk out there and you know that this happened, you see things instantly because there's no doubt in your mind. It's nothing there like, well, maybe you'll want this. It's an instant thing. And it's, you know, the trust that Christ had in his Father, the time that he spent with his Father. You know, we all need to learn from that. We don't only just read about Jesus. We learn from him and do what he did. And that's one of the biggest things that I really feel that is important in a Christian's walk.
Absolutely. You know, the thing about it, I mean, it all boils down to really simple. Are you a believer or not? You know, and faith and doubt cannot exist in the same plane. If you've got faith, you don't have doubt. If you're doubting it, then you're lacking faith. So use the faith that's there for you. Faith and doubt cannot exist on the same plane any more than light and darkness. Darkness doesn't actually have a definition. It is the absence of light. And doubt is the absence of faith. You know, and fear is a big issue today with people stepping out. What are they going to think? What if it don't happen? What if it does? And who cares what they think? Are you still a son or a daughter of God?
Amen.
Is your eternal destiny in jeopardy because they might laugh at you? No. Okay, so who cares what they think? I can tell you what they'll think if that person gets healed right there in front of them. Their mind's going to be blown. And their life will never be the same. It will be an eternity-changing thing that happens to them. Because they will never forget if they get miraculously healed. They'll never forget that.
No.
And, you know, you look at Jesus. How do you think he drew all these crowds and all these people? Because signs and wonders, man. I mean, he would go into a town and heal them all. I mean, you think about it. I don't care if you live in the tiniest little town that don't even have a stoplight, which, by the way, the town I live in doesn't have a stoplight. But if you go in there and heal them, I mean, come on, man. What's going to happen?
Amen. Amen.
Other than the doctors in the hospital is going to be mad at you.
Yeah, definitely. 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 Gene, tell people how they can get in contact with your ministry if they would like to get in touch with you.
Okay. I'm actually on Facebook, Life and Health Ministries International. And also, I have an email address, lifeandhealthministries@yahoo.com. And also, I have one at gmail.com, lifeandhealthministries@gmail. Anybody that needs, you know, any prayer requests, just send me a message. We'll get together. Get you free. Get you healed.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. And I like to tell everybody, the Healing Light Ministries, we also have the Healing Light channel on Roku. If you have Roku on your TV, internet TV, that you can look up the Healing Light channel. We have over 17, 18 different ministries teaching people to walk in the power of God. We got anybody from Todd White to Pete Cabrero to Polly B. We have FBI art teaching. We have Jason Wade. We have Daniel Cook. We have a whole lot of people that's teaching people to walk in the power of God. You're seeing deliverances. We have John George on there doing deliverances. I mean, we even have the Healing Light channel on there that we're also teaching and showing and just doing different things. I mean, it's just a lot of things going on that channel. Don't miss this. This is actually a free channel. Only thing you have to do is subscribe to it and let this channel bless you. Get you walking in this, get you on the streets, teaching the word of God, praying for the sick, seeing the sick recover. That's what this is all about. Don't miss this channel, Healing Light channel. Subscribe today. Also check out the Healing Light show. Healing Light show, we have over 200 to 220 different people that we've interviewed. We've, you know, talked about the power of God. We pray on here. We saw deliverances actually on the show. Healing's actually on the show. All some of the big power people that works in the power of God has been on this show, so don't miss any of these interviews. We got Tom Fisher, we got a lot of these guys on here, so don't miss the radio show. And I'd like to thank everybody for listening today. And like I said, if you want to get a hold of Gene Garner, we've got his website actually here on this show. It's www.lifeandhealthministries.org, and it's all in lowercase. Just check him out today. And at this time, Gene, I ask you just to pray for people. Just pray for whoever is listening.
Absolutely. Father, I come to you this evening, Lord. I just thank you for Jesus. I thank you for everything that you've given us. Father, I thank you that you made us your heirs and joint heirs with Jesus to give us a power and authority to be sons and daughters of God and to manifest heaven here on earth. Father, for all these people out listening this evening, Father, and any other time, I thank you for them, Father, and I ask you just to show them your love in a special way right now, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Steve, go ahead and ask him about his cult, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Tell him about your cult.
We had a new little filly born, little horse. She was born yesterday morning, probably 7 o'clock-ish. Everybody's doing well.
That's great.
That's awesome. And I want to thank Stephen. I want to thank Stephen for bringing Gene on here. I didn't really know a whole lot about him. He's been a friend of mine on Facebook, and I've got a lot of people that follows the show and all that stuff on Facebook, and he just reminded me of Gene. I was like, yeah, Gene's an awesome guy. I've got to get him on the show and talk about his ministry, and I want to thank Steve for getting us in contact, man.
No problem.
It's been awesome. And, Gene, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I want to build this connection with you. Maybe we could do some ministry on the street someday, man.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for inviting me out here. I've enjoyed it.
Okay. God bless every one of y'all, and thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Take care.
There are no words, no phrase I could create. There is no melody that I could make. How do you sing about a love so deep without feeling like you missed something? I could try, but I could not explain. Oh,
On Christ the rock. shout